B-Pod Studios.
Wait a minute. This sounds interesting.
Oh, it is.
Don't make fun of me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's more than one way to impact the game. And, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be scoring. And I think that a lot of times we kind of get this, you know, in our mind that the NBA, like, if I can't score the ball, then I'm not good enough to be in the NBA. And it's like, you can do multiple things to be here and establish yourself. And, you know, and that's, for me, that's what it was. I found something that works for me. I found something that I'm really good at. And I tried to master it to the best that I can. So to be able to win this award, I'm ecstatic. It means a lot. It shows that the hard work that I've been putting in has finally paid off, and the recognition is finally coming.
All right, hour number two, Felger Mass. We are at Hurricanes at the Garden on location, just down the street from the Garden, in advance of Nets Celtics game two. So we're doing a lot of Celtics talk today, but not the only thing. We're going to throw for the Felger Mass big board. Yeah, the big board travels. So we'll be throwing for linebackers here coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll do our first toss of the day here. Also have some Bruins thoughts coming up as well. But we're mostly Celtics Nets, and just a Celtics thought here on Marcus Smart and Defensive Player of the Year. He seems pretty pleased with himself, as you might imagine, Mazzo, but something caught your eyes related to this?
Okay, so first of all, if the Celtics have sold him on being a great defender first, good, it's smart, get him out of the way in the offense, that's good. Okay, I'm happy with that. I'll tell you this, though. When I heard that Marcus Smart won Defensive Player of the Year, I was surprised. I don't know if everyone else was. I knew he was a candidate. Obviously, it's been out there. But if you're asking me who the most important defender is on the Celtics, I think it's Robert Williams.
I would agree.
Okay, I don't think it's Marcus Smart. I think it's Robert Williams. I think that the reason the award goes to a big guy more often than not is because defending the rim is still the most important defensive attribute, even in the modern NBA, where three-pointers are a bigger part of the game. If guys can drive to the rim at will, it's over. That's it. Because then you have to collapse, and now they can kick to three and forget it. So you need somebody in there that can police the paint. To me, it should almost always go to a big guy. Almost always. Not always.
I mean, I will say, just before you go on, that is a cool... I don't care about the defensive player there. But it is cool. He's the first guard since Peyton. Like,
yes.
That's a cool sort of...
It's been like 30 years.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's good honor. And if you were to say to me... He's first team all defensive. He's the guard, one of the guards on the all defensive team. Yes, fine, no problem. I just happen to believe, and I have a bias. Again, I'm a sizist, as you know.
But you understand the game is now on the 3-point line than the, you know, the guy that defends a 3-point shot versus a 2-point shot might be more valuable.
Okay, but again, in his case, it's not just about defending the 3-point line, right? It's about switching and also being able to guard multiple positions and all that, which I get. I'm just telling you that if you don't have a guy in the paint that can protect the rim, teams will annihilate you in there. It's essential in that league, and it's why a big guy almost always wins the award.
Okay.
Now, my real issue with the whole thing was Adam Himmel's backstory in the Globe today, where he basically goes through five plays or so, or a bunch of plays with Marcus Smart, and Smart is commenting on his own decision-making and defensive play. I got to the first play, and I had to stop. I had to stop. When I read this comment from Smart, where it's a play where he peeled off a Goran Dragic and bodied up Durant into a miss. Okay, here's the quote. "Nothing against Dragic, but it was KD to the rim wide open or Dragic with a three. I'm taking my chances and I'm picking KD. I know I'm probably not going to block his shot, but I've got a little bit of weight on him. So just jump vertical and try to make him finish through me, and that's what I did. Hands went up. You could see they're complaining about the no call, but it was clear as day, a good read and a good play." As soon as I hear a guy talking about himself saying, "I made a good read and a good play," I find it to be an incredible turnoff. So you want to get a coach in there to dissect the play? Once you start telling me how good a read you made and how good a play you made, I immediately want to put my fingers in my ears and ignore you.
Well, what should he say there? I got lucky? Like, what do you think is the proper response? Again, he's breaking this down with Adam Himmelsbach. What's he supposed to say?
Okay, what he should say is, if you want to break it down, the coach is over there. I'm not going to talk about myself, dude. That's what I'm going to do. No offense. I just try to go out there and make reads in real time and help where I can help. Sometimes that's playing one-on-one on Kyrie. Sometimes that's collapsing in the paint and trying to help somebody else. Whatever it is, that's what I try to do. You want the specifics and what people think? Go talk to them. Don't ask me. I think any time you talk about yourself like that, you sound like a clown.
He came off as confident, not cocky to me. And this is a guy that's been dogged by the likes of me, Gasper, Jones, others. The one I'm traded off the team, like, that he won this award, let him enjoy it, break it down. You know, you want to crow a little bit. I think he deserves it.
So, Murray, you know, but what I'm trying to do here is I think this is a good take, Murray. See how it comes off? It comes off that way. Well, Murray, this is a good take. This is my job. I sit here and I give you a good take, and then I get you to react. But that's a good take by me. That's a good read. As soon as you do that, like, it's like, dude, would you shut up? Get over yourself. Like, let other people talk about you. Accept the blame for your mistakes. Don't take the credit. I generally try to believe in that. Take all of the blame and none of the credit. And it's totally unfair, I admit. But I just think you sound awful.
He sounds way worse when he's talking, I think, down to the likes of Tatum and Brown, where he carries himself as, like, this elder statesman of the team. That's what he drives me crazy. This, I had no problem with.
See, but to me, it's in the same vein. It's the same vein. Just let other people talk about you.
But totally in character for him.
Absolutely.
I mean, he is always, always trying to, you know.
He is his biggest fan.
Carve yes. out, yeah. absolutely, his place as a prominent player in the league and a prominent guy and an all-NBA kind of guy. Just by that comment there, you know, you don't have to score points to be considered a superstar, that sort of thing. Like, he's always, that's just his character.
I've had some great takes. I don't know if this is in my top 10, but I want to put this on my greatest hit of takes.
All right. Back to your call, 617-779-0985. Steven Southie. Go ahead, Steve.
Yo, it's good, guys. I got the Celtics in 4. Tatum's dropping 50 tonight. Kyrie's going to get booed out of the arena. It's going to be great. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, okay. Bye.
That was a good take. John's in Denver, and I don't like the sound of that either, but go ahead, John, in Denver.
Hey, Murray, happy holidays.
You too.
Listen, guys, all this Kyrie news, does it ultimately serve as a distraction for the team?
Distraction for which team?
Celtics.
No. And,
like, meaning it takes them off their game?
Exactly.
No.
I don't think so.
How could it?
Again, so you played that clip of Jaylen Brown. He was asked about it. He sounded genuine where he said he didn't really notice what the hell was going on. Like, he's focusing on the game. I think they're dialed in.
Well,
I really do.
I mean, I don't believe him, but I think that they're so focused on the game that they're not going to. That's his deal. They probably side with Kyrie, but we're not going to get involved. We're not worried about the crowd. We're worried about winning the game. And that's just. I think it's a positive sign that they're not weighing in on that one. I thought they would. So I don't feel like they're distracted about it at all.
Me neither.
You know.
I feel they've been pretty focused for a couple of months now. And I'm not saying it's been 100% the whole time. But this is as committed and focused as I think I've ever seen them since they came into the league.
John in Saugus wants to weigh in on a quick football thing. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors circulating with Debo Samuel, but there's even more circulating with Christian Arkan. But Felger, I have a question for you.
I'm going to let you go before you, the Christian Arkan thing. Debo Samuel. So again, he's demanded a trade from San Francisco, and then now here's a real whopper. Reports are that it has nothing to do with money, which I just have to laugh. Like, what do you mean it has nothing to do with money? I don't believe that. But of course, everyone wants to, you know, Debo Samuel and the Patriots. Debo Samuel and the Patriots. You in?
I love the player. I just don't see any way that they cough up what it would take to get him, both in terms of talent and money.
Well, I mean, if it's not about money, then forget about the money. I mean, I think it is. But if you gave up 21 overall.
And you're going to have to give more, I think, for a player of that caliber.
More than 21?
Yeah, but 21's involved. 21 and maybe a second? Yes, absolutely. Look, you've been crowing about getting a guy for Mac Jones. There you go. There's a guy. Multi-use type of player. Maybe he's pissed about, look, it's ultimately about money, but maybe he's pissed about having to return kicks and be a punt returner and stuff like that.
Well,
just use him
question.
As an offensive weapon.
Is he as an effective and a consistent just receiver, pure receiver, as his name recognition would lead you to believe? Or is his value the fact that he's a running back and a returner and all these things?
I think he's a good receiver. I mean, I would give up a lot for him, but I don't think they will. That's my only point. But I would tell you, honestly, if I were him, I'd be worried about my coach killing me. They gave him the ball too much. Who can withstand that? How many times do you want to give him the ball? It's not a smart way to handle a player like that. You're gonna get him killed.
I mean, it's just a whopper. Again, Jeff Darlington says, I just spoke to Debo Samuel, and he told me that he has asked the 49ers to trade him. He did not want to discuss specific reasons behind his request, but he has indeed let the Niners know his desire to leave the organization. Guys, I thought I heard another report where he said it wasn't about money. Which
yeah,
is just
it's Breer, I think. Let me find it.
Laughable. Bert, what's gotten into you, man? Someone just says that to you, and you're like, you're telling me if the Niners came to him and said, look, Debo, we're going to make you a top three paid receiver in the league, in the history of the league. Whatever problems you have, do you think we can forget about him? What do you think Debo Samuel would do?
Yes.
Jesus.
Here's the tweet from Breer.
Always about money. What are you talking about?
A number of factors went into 49ers wide receiver Debo Samuel's trade request. Money isn't central to it. One is his role and the wear and tear he's incurred deployed as a hybrid tailback receiver, a role that makes him unique. Well, so if that's also part of the case, so if you don't want to return kicks, fine.
Well, no, but
look, like, dude, this is why you're one of the better players at that position, because you're so unique. You've got to be unique. Like, you've got to be kind of like a hybrid tailback.
Well, to me, what if we pay you commensurately?
Right.
What if we pay you for all the things that you're doing? Would that be okay?
Well, so, right. So it said, first of all, it didn't say the money wasn't a factor. It said not central.
Oh, my God.
Okay, which is a lie.
It's front and center.
But it's also him saying, if I'm going to do three jobs, then you got to pay me more than Tyreek Hill.
Exactly. Well, he's probably looking at it like that. It's like, I'm a receiver. You're getting the kick returning for free. I'm a receiver and all this running back stuff. You're kind of getting that for free, aren't you? And it should be. It should be at the base of everything that, for an NFL player that has a short lifespan, it's got to be at the root of any problem or anything to do with the team. Money is always central. Always. Let's throw some markers, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely in here. I'd love to.
Linebackers, the position. Huge position of need for the Patriots. Maybe a day one. First round consideration.
I'm throwing first. I'm not letting Murray throw first today.
So we're going to throw on page one of these guides and get the cream of the crop. We'll do one inside segment, one outside segment. You want to throw for outside guys or inside guys first?
Which one is N'Kobe Dean?
I bet he's an inside guy.
Well, whichever one he is, that's what I'm throwing first.
Okay, we're throwing linebackers coming up right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, the playoffs. What could possibly go wrong?
Okay, well, there we go.
All right. Felger and Maz are live at Hurricanes at the Garden. Thanks to Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Outside linebackers will be on the board. We are ready to go. Murray with the first throw.
Big one. Have big round here.
A big splat. Cameron McGrone. Not to be confused with McBone. Cameron McGrone from Michigan.
I don't like our picks today. I can't lie to you. I don't like the way I've been throwing.
Why don't you
ever
listen?
Since I broke the TV, I've been holding back on the release.
Cameron McGrone. Give the governor a McGrone. Strengths: flashes quick speed and excellent range.
Too small.
Offering money backer like speed. Money backer? That's so.
Yeah, don't be confused with the honey badger. Oh, he's the money God. Backer.
That is so corny. His weaknesses are,
here we go,
often get stuck on blocks rather easily.
I mean, again, we're getting all the little guys,
leaving him a non-factor in the run game.
Yeah, no good.
Out. His arms are not extraordinary to swat away passes. Will likely have issues about his overall frame too, which is athletic enough to handle RBs, but maybe not TEs.
Small. He's whittle.
Cameron McBrone.
Again, we're hitting on all these little linebackers. Bill's not going to take these little squirts.
It's true.
Matt Patricia going to make the pick for the Pats.
The 177th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Cameron McGrone, linebacker, University of Michigan.
right, here we go. That was last year's attempt to hit at a linebacker. We hit, as we like to tell you. The Felgram has big board. Does not tell you if the guy can play. In fact, more often than not, the guy can't play. It just predicts who they're going to take.
The board knows.
And so the last time we went for linebackers, we got one, and now we're back at it. Now it's really important. Now this is a huge position of need, maybe even a round one consideration. And so here we go. We're going to do inside linebackers. Again, the Felgram Mass Big Board is brought to you by the Peterson School. I don't have my full read in front of me, Jimmy. Maybe you could send that to me at some point so I can give him a full read up there. But the Peterson School brings us the big board every single year in our exclusive draft coverage. You can also catch more at 985thesportshub.com, where Alex Barth does a great job with a post sort of post game. We have live. He covers this live and then does a great write-up, a great video of our selections after the fact. So I've got the Lindy Sports Annuals here on my Felgram Mass Big Board. We will open up to page one with all the big guys. We'll do page one, page two on this magazine, then page one on the other one, and we'll see what we got.
I'm going to assume the position.
Okay, so these guys, the headsets don't reach all the way there, so we won't be able to hear them. You should be able to hear this. This makes me a little nervous because they're quite a distance away, and Murray can't throw. Wait a minute. Just hold on. Hold on. I'm getting down. Just wait. Okay, go ahead, Murray. Yep. Ah, you bastard. The big pink mark over here. Leo Chenal. And I should know this guy. He's from Wisconsin. Leo, C-H-E-N-A-L. Leo Chenal. Okay. That's the first one. We'll circle back to him. And again, it's always closest to. Murray never hits the freaking magazine.
He sounds like an accountant.
It's a miracle he can ever hit the board. Here's Maz again, former second baseman, JV Tufts.
He broke the TV, not me.
No, it's true. Okay, just don't hit my hand. Hold on! Okay, go ahead.
Oh!
Damn! Well.
We're in a leftish, I think.
Yeah, you hit the sleeper. You hit the sleeper. This is a scrub. Chance Campbell, Mississippi. Formerly of Maryland. Ah, well, I'll give you the read later on. That stink. He doesn't even show up on the real write-ups.
Well, no, did you go
he does.
Too deep into the magazine?
He does. No. He does. I got him. Never mind. Okay. That's a real player. Stand by. Here comes the third one. Okay. Page one now. Page one of Athlon Sports. And what's interesting is in the Athlon guide, they do not put N'Kobe Dean at the inside linebacker position. He's at a different position. So you'll have another chance at N'Kobe Dean later on in this magazine. We'll make sure to give you that chance. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
Maz. Oh,
he missed
man.
Everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We stained the wall. I thought it might happen. We stained the wall of Hurricanes.
Oh,
nice shot. All right.
Yeah.
Bang, right
direct
there.
Hit. That's what we're talking about. Quay Walker, one of these Georgia kids. Okay. Where'd you hit on the wall?
You'll see it right there, the yellow mark right under the U.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, casual spot.
Yeah.
They won't mind. I'm sure much worse has been splattered against that wall. Tell you that much.
A little white paint and they'll be fine.
Okay. Here we go. Leo Chenal.
Oh, God.
And I'm sorry. Like, I should know
you
the guy's
like
name.
Coco Chenal.
Right, I know. C-H-E-N-A-L. You pronounce that.
Chenal.
Leo Chenal.
Leo Chenal.
Sounds like an accountant.
Okay, from Wisconsin. Okay, proud Badger. 6'2", 260. Patriot size.
Oh, yeah, he's 260. A run-stopper.
260. All right, strengths. Built like a brick house.
Oh,
oh great.
They're forgetting the poop.
Huh?
Built like a brick poop house. You never heard that before?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, yeah.
He's a brick
house. All right, built like a brick house and can probably lift one, too. Remarkable athlete for his size. Violent hitter.
Ooh, I like it.
Who will send smaller backs flying. Capable closing speed. Means rarely missing chances to get involved in plays. Phenomenal play strength. Allows him to take on blockers and not lose an inch. He shocks offensive linemen with his power. Smart with picking his pursuit angles. Highly tuned eyes. This magazine is obsessed with eyes.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean? Yeah. Highly tuned eyes.
He's got quick eyes.
Highly tuned eyes. To track runners through chaotic sight lines. What?
He's got focus.
Works his way back into plays consistently. Those are his strengths. Weaknesses. agility isn't a deal breaker, but it's going to hurt him in a lot of coverage.
Yeah, no, Bill so doesn't care about
again,
that.
Again, a klutz.
Tackle radius is a tad small.
Yeah.
And will lead to some diving efforts to make up the difference.
That's not good.
Not flexible and nimble enough to slip through small gaps.
Of course not. He's a brick house.
Gets flat-footed when trying to cover backs in the passing game. He is projects in the second round. Leo Chenal, Wisconsin, put him on the board. I like him.
Leo Chenal.
I like him. Okay.
Coco.
So, Maz hit, there's a little sleeper box here that is just sort of, that I thought that they put players that were sort of way off the board on here. But no, there's a full write-up of Chance Campbell from Mississippi.
This is the second sleeper I've hit.
Yeah. You like the sleepers.
I like the blue.
Chance Campbell, Mississippi. 6'2", 235.
Ooh.
A little undersized.
Yeah, he might be able to run, though.
Strength. Explosive short area athlete who can get the job done in pursuit. Tackle machine.
Yeah.
That's good.
Who works hard to make contact on every play. Instinctive player who rarely loses his bearings. Technically sound tackler who wraps up well.
Good, they like that.
Takes good angles and recalculates quickly to get around obstacles.
This is a good write-up on this kid.
He has legitimate sideline-to-sideline range.
Ooh!
Traits are adequate to play on special teams.
See, the board knows.
He's a four-down player.
The board knows.
All right, weaknesses. Struggles to dip and bend through contact.
Well, we can work on that.
Stiff hips.
Struggles to dip and bend through contact without getting pushed around. Play strength is subpar and will get him tossed out of the club at times.
We can fix that.
Adjustments aren't nimble. Not going to create much as a blitzer and won't provide more than a numbers advantage. Purely an inside linebacker.
That means he can't cover.
Okay, either way, put him on the board. Chance Campbell, Mississippi.
I like that.
Yeah,
I don't hate him.
I don't hate him.
Chance. Take a chance on Chance.
I like all these players that we hit just now for the Patriots. And this one, Quay Walker. This is a guy. This is one of those, you know, speedy guys on the Georgia defense. And his size profiles to a Patriot. 6'4", 245.
Okay, better.
That's exactly what they're looking for.
Quay Walker.
Quay Walker. A big stack linebacker.
With, like, his
pancakes.
Friends call him Scott.
Yeah, a big stack linebacker with impressive movement skills. Walker is a physical prototype for an inside linebacker.
Oh.
He has what he needs to work through traffic with especially long arms and quick hands that allow him to stack and shed blockers. He's a fluid, multi-directional athlete with the speed to cover ground sideline to sideline. His length and athleticism play well in zone coverage. He has the ability to match up with tight ends. This guy sounds great.
Yeah.
And he lined up as a stand-up edge rusher at times. Versatile.
Oh, that's perfect.
Just perfect.
He sounds like a stud.
Sounds like Hightower.
Weak points. Walker is often a step late to react and susceptible to misdirection and eye candy.
Oh.
Again, aren't we all?
Yeah, it's all about the
So put a gal with big boobs in the front row and he's all distracted.
Missed that play because he was looking at that ass.
His instincts as a zone dropper need to be sharpened as well. And that's it for the weak points.
Alex Barth loves him. He just tweeted Quay Walker with three heart eye emojis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Quay Walker. All right.
My kind of guy.
Put him on the board. I feel good about that toss right there. All right. We'll do the outside guys coming up later on at the end of the show. We got a quick Bruins minute for you coming up after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. So go nowhere. It's Felger and Maz from Hurricanes at the Garden.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Live from Hurricanes at the Garden, it's Felger and Maz. Thanks to Miller Lite, it's game time. It's Miller time on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Over the line right side to Brusk, the right circle, Coyle. Coyle, back of the net. Trying to get away from Tarasenko, right of the net to Brusk, into the slot. McAvoy shoots, he scores! Chucky with some high cheese in overtime. The Boston Bruins have come into St. Louis and beat the Blues 3-2 in overtime. So the Boston Bruins now with 99 points. And the Blues' nine-game winning streak is over. Your final in overtime. Bruins 3 and the Blues 2.
All right, quick Bruins minute here before we get back to your phones. That was an important win for them last night on a couple of different levels. That was a good result, good game. That's the best team in the league right there they're playing, or the hottest team anyway, St.
Louis. They won 9 straight. Yeah.
Okay, so I think there's some symbolism there too in that last week the Bruins have a bad loss to St. Louis at home. Cassidy's all over them. Oddly so, I think. Because, again, they are injured, and there was some excuses that if he wanted to cover for his team that night, he easily could have. And instead, he chose to lay into him. And it all sort of led you to believe, is there a chance where the players are tuning him out, or he and the players are in a bad place, and where is this all headed between their health and their headspace and the coach all up their ass? And it felt a little teetery after that loss in St. Louis, and now there's some symbolism that a week later, they walk into St. Louis, who's hadn't lost since, and still with all those injuries, play a relatively tight professional game and beat the best team in hockey. And I think that's just one jumping off point, Murray. You got a thought?
Yeah, and that's despite their power play still sucking. Like, watch that Blues power play. I think you've mentioned this before. Like, that's what a power play should look like. So the power play still sucks. Marchand and Bergeron have basically, like, disappeared. But, like, defensively, like, their defensive game last night, I think they held them to 14 shots through the second and third period. Like, that was an impressive win for them. I had jumped ship after those games last week. And since then, they've won 2 straight. So, I don't know. You're welcome. But I thought that was a big win for them last night.
Open my eyes.
Swayman was good, too.
You know, yeah, but open my eyes.
It shows you Cassidy hasn't lost the room.
Right.
Or at least the entire room. Again, Marchand and Bergeron? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's happened to Marchand. I mean, he can't even keep the puck on his stick long enough to shoot it. I mean, he's, like, oddly, like, major slump. So I don't know what's going on with him. And it's obviously affected Bergeron because I and I'm not even blaming DeBrusk. I think he's going at a relatively good clip. I mean,
did another nice goal last night.
Goal and set up the game winner, and I think he's using his legs, and it's just, you know, what they bargained for on that line. So I don't think it's like... I don't think DeBrusk is even holding those guys back. So what's the excuse for Marchand and Bergeron? So, I just put that in the context of Cassidy and, you know, being in a bad spot with his players. Maybe he is in a bad spot with some of his players. I don't know. All I know is he called out Charlie Coyle, like, real bad last week. And all Coyle has done since is shoot the puck. You know, he calls him out just... blatantly, Charlie refused to shoot the puck. Remember that line?
Yes, yes.
Since then, he has like 14, 15 chases. All he's done is shoot. So he's still got Coyle, and that whole line, he benched Frederick and called out Coyle. Since then, that line has sort of regained itself.
Yeah, Frederick, that first goal on the weekend, yeah.
So it's like, all right, he hasn't lost the whole room. And so, like, that should be a relief because it felt last week like, uh-oh, you know, which way is this headed? So that's the good news. I still think they are just playing with fire on. Maybe I'm late to this party. Mike Riley freaking blows. He blows. I don't know how they survive him. I really don't. But you know, it's not all hunky dory. But I think if you felt they were teetering or on the verge of a collapse last week, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. And that's, you know, it could have gone either way. So that's good news.
I mean, the last couple of games, Pittsburgh and St. Louis, they've allowed 3 goals. And this one was, you know, on the road. Like I told you, I did not expect last night. And your point on Riley, what did I see this morning? 6 penalties on the last 6 games.
Dude,
4 of them are high sticks.
Did you see the high stick last night?
I did not.
He just blatantly flailing his stick behind him, you know, clips a guy in the head behind his own net on the power play. It ended a Bruins power play. It was just, he's a disaster. He's a walking disaster. So I don't know how they've survived him, but they do, and they have. And so here we are. And now I think it's important also because Tampa loses last night is to Detroit, I think, or some bad team. Who did they lose to last night? Some Lamb. And if you want to get up into that third spot in the division, well, now you're a point behind Tampa.
4-3 to Detroit.
And, you know, when you look at the schedules, the Bruins have a much harder schedule than Tampa down the stretch. It felt like... you weren't, it wasn't that realistic of you catching Tampa, but if Tampa's going to lose to a team like Detroit, and you're going to walk into St. Louis and beat St. Louis, so that, you know, I fully expected last night for the Bruins to come out 5 points behind Tampa. Now they're 1 point behind Tampa with the tiebreaker. So that's now attainable if you want that three seed in the Atlantic Division and taking on the Leafs in the first round. The question is that what you want? Because on the other side, in the Metro, the Rangers have caught Carolina. Do you realize this?
Yes, I know. I was just looking at that.
So would you rather have the Rangers in Carolina? Does Carolina still scare you? Carolina never scared me as much as it did you guys.
They've really come back down to earth. Some bad injuries they're dealing with.
That whole division I just feel a little better about. I think the Atlantic's better. I think Florida, Toronto, and Tampa. I think I'd rather face Carolina than any of those three teams, maybe even Toronto. The Rangers scare me more than Carolina.
Right, because of the goalie?
Goalie's going to win the Vezina, I think. They got the best goalie in the league. They have the reigning Norris guy in Fox. So they've got a great young decor. They've got a great young goalie. Like, that's the combination that scares me, decors and goalies. I still look at Carolina and say, you know, I don't know. Certainly look at Toronto and say, I don't know. But, you know, so, like, pick your poison. They're going to have they'll have an option there. I think that's kind of interesting.
I'd take my chances with the Rangers. If I could get the Rangers, I would take my chances there.
I've been terrified of Carolina because I can't get 16-1 out of my head. That's that goal differential with the games that they've played against the Bruins. But they aren't the same team they were just a few months ago. So that might be who you want.
So I do think it's important that they get Pastrnak and Lindholm back before the playoffs to get a couple games, because hockey, it is. We've talked about Ben Simmons and Rob Williams and these guys hitting their. In hockey, I feel it's even more pronounced that you've got to get some games under your belt and some rhythm and knock off rust and all of this. And I think if Lindholm and Pastrnak's first game is game one of the playoffs, you're not going to get much out of them. So I think it's important to get those guys back, get them some games. You want to go balls out and get the third seed in your division and play Toronto and, you know, stay in the Atlantic and then get Florida, or let Florida, Tampa beat each other's brains out and then get that winner? Or do you want to go back into the Metropolitan? When they went back into the Metropolitan, that was the bubble year, and they didn't fare so well. But either way.
Well, they beat Carolina in the first round.
They beat Carolina in the first round, and then got, somehow they ended up with Tampa. So I guess it was all mixed up. They were in a different division that year, right?
They recalibrated.
They mixed the whole thing up. Well, either way. Would you rather have the Metropolitan Division, Carolina, the Rangers? If you get through that, then you got Pittsburgh or Washington in the next round. Those are great. You know, those are fun series, both those matchups. You want to stay in the Atlantic? Like, that's. Watch that if you care.
Well, I'll tell you, Tampa doesn't scare me, because I think the Bruins match up well with Tampa now. But I do think Toronto's speed scares me. The goalie doesn't, but their speed does.
All right, so there's your Bruins minute. I promise. We got it all now. Okay, we got the big board rolling. We got all of our Celtics net stuff, our Kyrie stuff. We got a Bruins minute for you. We did Red Sox earlier. Whatever you want, with your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Getting you ready for the Celts and the Nets. It's Felger and Mass. Live at Hurricanes at the Garden. Thanks to Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's interesting. When KD left the Warriors, he wasn't just leaving Steph. He was leaving kind of the L.A. Rams of the NBA. A really smart GM and a really smart coach and a really smart culture. And there was accountability. And you could go there to rehab your image. And, I mean, like Steph Curry, I mean, he's a guy that doesn't even have to start over the weekend. He didn't just leave a player. He left a culture. And Brooklyn is the opposite of the Warriors. Chemistry, defense, accountability, meh. You know, when you choose to be a villain, LeBron did. He didn't even really mean to. Like, he gave $1 million to a boys and girls club when he had that big decision. It was clumsy. He didn't want to be a villain. But after a year of being the villain, LeBron's like, I don't like being a villain. I don't like this. Kyrie and KD have chosen to be the villain, and they don't like the shrapnel and the pitfalls of it. You're going to get heckled. People are going to be on you. I mean, KD's sensitive. We know that. Kyrie hears everything. We know that. And he reacts to everything. So if you choose that path in life to agitate, shocking. You're going to get hecklers. Nobody was heckling Jordan and the Bulls. You know, maybe nobody heckles the Suns. Nobody's heckling Milwaukee. They just ignore it. They're not trying to agitate people. Well, Charles Barkley, by the way, was an agitator. So I still like Brooklyn in the series. I'm probably out of my gourd. But when you choose a path in life, you got to deal with the pratfalls of it.
That's another fair point by Colin. They are the bad guys. They are the villains. And neither can handle it. Yeah, I mean, I get Kyrie played well in the face of it, for sure. And maybe it motivated him on the floor. But just as a dude, he can't handle it.
Correct.
And Durant, we all know how sensitive that freaking guy is. So,
because they're riding the fence with it, too, because they're both guys that do kind of embrace it, like being the villain, but they also want to be loved. So, I don't know. If you're going to go that route, like Colin's saying, like, you got to really lean into it. Like, yeah. F the love, be the bad guy. And they don't know how to do it.
They don't.
No, neither one likes it. Yeah, neither one likes it. So the only thing I'll give Kyrie credit for is that, you know, in on the floor on Sunday, he answered. He Definitely. Answered. So, but I wonder if that's tied into his behavior. In other words, does he have to lash out, lash back at people in order to be able to play well? If he internalizes it, is he going to be as good?
All right, back to your phones here. As promised, Joe is in Lincoln, wants to defend Marcus Smart against you, I think, Maz. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Maz, I understand that if he had a press agent, Marcus Smart would come off better. I mean, Muhammad Ali would have been better if he had a press agent, too. But, you know, part of who Marcus Smart is this guy who is fiercely competitive, not getting enough credit, can't stand it. But, you know, anybody who has played basketball, you hear them talk about Smart. And I don't know all the ins and outs of the subtleties of defensive playing, but they all think he's great. I would think, Murray, at least you've apologized a little bit, thank goodness, for that. But, you know, Marcus Smart is a lot more valuable than you guys think he is. Not only can he can pass, he can defend. But, you know, the play I was thinking of that I haven't heard anybody talk about, might have been after the third quarter, after just right at the beginning of the third quarter, he intercepted the inbound pass.
Oh, that? Yes.
That was
a heads-up play.
Well, when the Nets fell asleep.
I mean, that was an easy play.
No one ran back for the ball. Yeah. It was at 4 seconds or whatever to inbound the ball, and Marcus is like, all right, well, he's going to have to go somewhere with it. That wasn't a defensive player of the year kind of play. That was more of an F-up on the part of the Nets, if that's what the play that I think he's talking about.
It's the one he's talking about, yeah.
I'm not diminishing Marcus Smart as a player. Our point was, he's got a big ego. He's got a little bit of a little man's disease or something where he's always got to prove to you and always got to let you know what he is, and I'm a man and you respect me and I'm a star and you don't realize what, you know, like he's got that thing going for him, which is just a little annoying.
It's because of his draft selection more than anything else.
He was sixth overall. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, and that's like he
thinks, he thought he should have been the first overall pick or something?
No, I think that he looks at himself, I am a high NBA draft pick and I should be treated as such. I am a star in this league.
Oh, I see. Because he definitely, but I think he had that at Oklahoma State. He went into the crowd because someone chirped him, right? He must have, and I don't know we always put guys on the couch, so, you know, forgive me, but boy, he must have been disrespected at one point in his life to a really bad degree for him to be so hyper obsessed with, you treat me like a man, you respect me, you make sure you know that I am what I am and you don't realize what I am, and like, oh my God, give it a rest, Marcus, already.
I think the issue here is that he doesn't score, and so all the, you know, the other guys get all the attention because they score. So, and look, by the way, he is a terrific defensive player. He's played really well defensively. I told you, first team. I just don't know that I give a guard defensive player of the year.
Chance Campbell. I'm sorry, Ed Weymouth on Chance Campbell, the Mississippi linebacker we just hit on in the big board. Go ahead, Ed. What do you know?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I just wanted to share this little tidbit of information. Chance Campbell was on Good Morning, GMFB, Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
And they had an interview with him. And one thing that the little write-up in the magazine left out that none of the other football teams would care about except for the Patriots, but he was a former lacrosse player, and he was actually pretty good. So I thought I would just share that with you guys.
Ed, thank you. Well, the board knows. It's another example. The board knows.
No, it does. It has a sixth sense when it comes to things like that. I thought he was going to say that only the Patriots would care that he would play for free.
No, well, there's that. But if this guy's a former lacrosse pro, then forget about it. He's in. He's in. Let me just read it. Campbell, Campbell spent his first three seasons at Maryland, and big lacrosse school, but he wasn't a full-time starter until a junior season that was cut short due to COVID. Despite not having a wealth of playing experience, he was a hot commodity on the transfer market and ultimately landed at Mississippi. In his 1 year as a starter in the SEC, Campbell collected 109 tackles and earned his spot on the scouts' radar. So again, Chance Campbell, he is on the Felgermas big board, and wouldn't you know it, he's a lacrosse bro. Board knows.
Put him on. That's a lock.
Bruce, seriously. Bruce in Wethersfield. Go ahead, Bruce. What do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. I was yelling at the TV. One, you get Brooklyn in the bonus early first quarter. Drive the ball in on them for easy points. And two, second half, up 14 points. Don't go 5.5 minutes without scoring. Post up Horford or Smart to regroup. Go Celts. Thanks.
Okay, we're going
to
spend a little more time next hour on just how the Celtics played down the stretch in that ball game. Maybe that's not getting quite enough attention. In the meantime, Matt's in New Bedford on the Bees. Go ahead, Matt.
I got a couple rapid-fire points for you guys. One, I couldn't agree more with Mike Riley. Absolutely blowing. This guy continuously takes horrible penalties, and they just put him out there. And, you know, I've also heard through the grapevine somehow that apparently he's pissed off about his playing time.
Well, let me stop you. I mean, he had a quote a couple weeks ago that we read on the air, sort of questioning Bruce Cassidy and his lineups and why wasn't he in there. So he has, you know, sort of subtly complained about his playing time. But, Matt, I think Mike Riley is a freaking disaster. He's a disaster out there half the time. I think he is that guy. Anyway, go ahead.
You're absolutely right. And why is it always like the guys who absolutely suck or who don't perform complain about their ice time? Anyway, the other point I want to make is I need Charlie McAvoy to keep doing what he's doing as far as shooting and picking corners. Even if he doesn't, he has an excellent shot. And if he opens up that part of his game, he'll end up making, you know.
Norris, say it, Norris. He's a Norris caliber defenseman in his own zone defensively, physically. And he's just, offensive production shouldn't be the calling card for Norris Cannons, but it is. You got to put up points. And if he gets that end of his game, he'll be a top three Norris guy.
I mean, that goal last night was a freaking blow dart.
It was a P.
That was just an absolute, missile to the corner. And that was a wrist shot. But look, I said this the other day, with Pastrnak out, I put him on that face-off circle over there and let him fire away. It happened at the end of the game, two games ago, maybe. And I saw it, and that's why it stuck in my head. Why not? I mean, he can play over there and shoot it well, and it might force him to shoot more. So give it a shot. I'd put him on that face-off circle.
By the way, I meant to ask you, how'd you watch this last night on your phone?
Oh, hey, everybody. Did you enjoy the circle that kept showing up on your screen? Huh? Did you enjoy that?
The old buffering circle of hell.
No, I love watching Bruins hockey through buffering. Love it. Oh, it's great. What do you think of the production quality?
I hate that face-off predictor thing. Get that out of my face.
The whole thing. How'd you feel about it? Great. No, it's no problem. Yeah, just stream it. Yeah, it's the future. The internet. Great. Yeah, stream it. Cool. What's the difference? ESPN Plus, Hulu. Hulu. Yeah, Hulu has live sports. Great. Yeah, no problem. The second-rate announcers, second-rate production quality, buffering here, useless next-gen dorky-ass stats that just do nothing for you.
And I'm convinced they're like getting paid to refer to that thing time and again. I hate that. I'm kind of offended, frankly, how ESPN has treated getting hockey back. Like, they're not taking it seriously.
Well, what do you think was coming?
No, it should be better than this, Mike.
No, but let's just dick around on the internet. Because that's really all we're doing, right? We're just playing with something else on the internet. Oh, we can stream this and look at what we can do with this and that. And all it is just playing around with another freaking internet thing. It's all that it is. As opposed to just broadcasting a hockey game. You just can't broadcast a hockey game, can you?
Figured I could wind you up with that.
Yeah, no, it was great. I loved watching it. You know, there's that circle that just, no, I'm just wait. It popped up in the middle of DeBrusque's goal, I think. It's like, what happened here? Wait a minute, let me wait. And then the other annoying thing is that I can't go channel to channel. Like, I've got to X out of that thing right. And then get on my regular cable if I want to flip between the Red Sox and the Bruins or another, sport. I can't just go bang,
you can't
bang.
Can't hit last.
No, I can't hit last. Last. Nope,
there's
I got to log out, log in, get on. It's like, for what?
What happened to your two TV setup?
I don't have the two TVs up there anymore. I don't.
Tough times in the Felger house.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, we've all had to cut back. So, you know, I took the second TV out of the office.
Oh, just get a tablet.
The whole thing is just so freaking annoying. Speaking of annoying, the number of people who don't get it on the Kyrie Irving front is really starting to blow me away. We'll pick that up after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.